fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning into the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. This week, I'd like to talk about some of the verses that were given as readings in the liturgy this week as we move toward the celebration at the end of the week on Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King, the solemnity of the church celebrates, ends the church year, remembering who Christ is, that he's conquered, that he's King and Lord of all, and that everything is in his hands. After we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, then we start moving into the season of Advent, preparing for Christmas. Advent's the beginning of the church year. The solemnity of Christ the King is at the end of the church year. So the church gives us a set of readings that prepare us, call us back again to who we're meant to be. They're passages that call us to conversion, to examine our lives, to see our life in relationship to Christ and his lordship and his call, and make sure that we're awake and alert and living the kind of life he calls each one of us to live. Because we know, as we celebrate the Feast of Christ, the truth is that each one of us will one day stand before the King, the one to whom we will all render an account of our lives. How did we live in relationship to the call he's given to each and every one of us? Every single human being was made by him and for him. And no one will escape, and no one escapes the gaze of Jesus. Every single heart will be revealed before him, and he'll examine our lives in light of what he's given us, the light we've been shown, and how we've responded to that light. The readings we're given are readings from the seven letters in the book of Revelation. The prophet John has a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus appears to him. He's the shepherd of these seven churches in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. And what we see is that these prophetic messages go to the seven churches, and Jesus speaks and he examines what's happening with those churches now. And then he also makes clear what will happen later, what will happen next, and how history is going to unfold to the ultimate triumph of Christ. He knows the circumstances of each church. In fact, there's some beautiful images in the first chapter of the letter where John sees the glory and majesty through the grace of the Holy Spirit. He receives a glimpse of Jesus' majestic power and his glory. And one of the things that he sees is Jesus is standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands. These seven golden lampstands represent the seven churches, the fire that's burning, each church, the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and a message that he stands in the midst of these churches. The Lord is with us. He also talks about the seven stars. Could be referring to the angels that are set over each of the churches, possibly the bishops. The point is that Jesus knows each and every one of these churches, and he has a word for them. And as we read some of these letters, I'm going to try to apply it to our lives, because these words are given to us in Scripture, not only to tell us about what was happening in the church in Asia Minor, but it tells us a great deal about what matters to the Lord, what he expects from us and expects from his churches, and it helps us examine our own lives. It's a great thing to do at the end of this church year as we approach the season of Advent. So let's begin. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's just part of the introduction of the letter. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him," that is to John, "to show his servants what must happen soon. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who gives witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ by reporting what he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud, and blessed are those who listen to this prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near." So we're reading it aloud. We're obeying that word today. We're reading aloud some of what's in these letters. The passage goes on. It says, "John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. I heard the Lord saying to me, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write this." So the first church that we're given to look at today is the church in Ephesus. It starts there probably because it's the largest of the cities of the seven churches, the capital of Asia. And about 250,000 people live there as a center of commerce and banking, government, the rest of it. And there was also a huge temple called one of the seven wonders of the world, a temple to Artemis. And so the goddess Roma, and other gods and goddesses were worshipped there. Paul had great success evangelizing in Ephesus. It was a large church, and this is the first church that Jesus addresses. So it's interesting what he says. Think about your own life. Think about your own parish. Think about your own diocese. Think about your own church as I read through this. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands says this. So that's an image of Jesus, right? He's holding the seven stars, the leaders of the churches. It's a sign that every single church, God's people dwell in the palm of Jesus' hand. He's not far off. He knows us, his eyes upon us, and he holds us in his hand. This is what he said, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and you cannot tolerate the wicked. You have tested those who call themselves apostles but are not, and discovered that they are imposters. Moreover, you have endurance and have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You've lost the love that you had at first. Realize how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It's a very short, simple exhortation. Jesus is saying to the Ephesians, I know you. I've watched you. I'm in your midst. And he first begins by acknowledging what's going well among them. So he said, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance. So they're laboring. They're laboring in life and ministry, the community in many ways, and they're enduring. What they're enduring is trial, pushback from the society. They're living in a pagan culture, this center of intense pagan worship, and there's hostility against them. And they have to endure that, and they don't yield to it. And the fact that Jesus said, you will not tolerate the wicked. There's false teachers who came to them who were spreading a false gospel. Also, there's a way in which each of them were called, the leaders were called to stand and to resist the influence of those leaders. Now, think about the kind of thing in our own time that the church battles against, because what we'll see in these different letters is the characteristic spiritual battles that they face are very similar and analogous to the kind of battles we face today. Think about how much false teaching can make its way into the church. How many Catholics, how many believers can stand up and preach a false gospel, for example, like the prosperity gospel, or voices within the Catholic Church. We're just going through this, just passed through this election season, and it's a tumultuous and a difficult time. In the midst of it, we see Catholics stand up and promote false teaching. They say, I'm a Catholic, but I support abortion. I'm a Catholic, but I support same-sex marriage. So there's a public promotion of saying, I can promote this and still be a Catholic at the same time. And you'll see from these letters that that's not the way Jesus looks at it at all. He comes to diagnose our actual condition. And he wants us to see and understand ourselves in light of him. The most important thing for us and for the church is that we're rightly aligned with Christ, who is the Lord. We belong to him. We don't belong to ourselves. And life on earth is not a time for us to just design the life we want for ourselves apart from God's purpose to define reality and truth and goodness the way we want to define it, creating our own values. Jesus is very close, just like he was close to these seven churches. And he's happy to acknowledge, said, look, you've endured suffering and trial. That's a good thing. But you need to see something. There's a problem. And here's the diagnosis. You've lost your first love. What does he mean? Love for God and love for neighbor. They're both weak in the church of Ephesus. They've begun to fade. The passion, the commitment, the will to love God and neighbor has weakened. And they've lost the kind of fervent passion. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? He said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything will be added to you. So put first things first. And what Jesus is talking about, he knows he's talking about a decision, not just an emotion. That love is a decision of the will the good of another, to have my heart and mind set on, first of all, doing the will of God, And acknowledging that, Jesus said so many times, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments wholeheartedly. Because I love God, because I'm attentive to God's purpose and call in my life, is absolutely central to expressing love. So it's not just a sentiment, it's not just a feeling, it's Jesus saying, are you doing it? Are you following in my footsteps? Are you obeying my Father, my Father's plan and purpose? And are you loving your neighbor? Are you willing the good of your neighbor? Is your neighbor even on your radar? So Jesus gives a remedy. It's pretty simple. Repent. Change direction. Begin to decide again. And remember, you've been given the power in the Holy Spirit to be able to live a new way of life. And he's calling them to surrender more to that presence and power in their lives. And so how to be strengthened? First of all, to repent, to change direction. Lay hold again of the fundamental priorities that Jesus has given to each one of us. Remember what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. We can see and understand as Paul describes what love is. He's describing Jesus in the sense of he's describing the heart of Christ and what the love of Christ looks like. And he said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Even if I give up my life, but I don't have love, I've gained nothing. So write this first letter, the heart of Jesus is revealed in his communication with the brothers and sisters in Ephesus. Repent means come back, turn back from defective love, from incomplete works. You'll see this kind of calling in each of the letters. Things like, as I said, defective love, erroneous teaching, idolatry, lukewarmness, self-satisfaction. These are all things that are present in these various churches that Jesus is addressing, and these things are present in us. What are the idols in our lives? What are the things that we put before the Lord and the Lord's will and the Lord's purpose? Where have we weakened in terms of our zeal and our love and our zeal for the kingdom of God and for the mission that Jesus has given to us? Where's lukewarmness or self-satisfaction or self-contentment? Where's that operating in our lives and cooling our spiritual fervor? So he goes on to say, moreover, you've endured, which is great, you've endured this suffering, but you've lost your first love. And he said, repent and do the works you did at first. Go back to your first love. When Christ captivated your heart, when you knew that God loved you and he knows your name and he's called you and you belong to him. And there was that burst of freedom and passion and willingness to forget yourself, to lay down your life for the Lord and for your neighbor. Friends, this is so important for us to see because our culture is set up in such a way as to keep us focused on ourselves, to be preoccupied with our own comfort, our own entertainment, our own recognition, whatever it is. We're habitually drawn into worrying about ourselves. And what that does is it saps the spiritual fervor that we have because our eyes are focused on ourselves. And then we end up getting filled with anxiety and worry and concern. And it's all about ourselves. Jesus comes to us and says, put it away, repent, come on back, trust me, follow me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's our call. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.